Many economists were expecting the fall to be a bit of a downer, but today's report from the Labor Department did not fit into that narrative. The government said 203,000 jobs were added in the U.S. last month, and the unemployment rate fell from 7.3% to 7%. That's the lowest level in 5 years. Jason Furman, the chair of the White House Council of Economic Advisors, reacted this way today on CNBC.
Certainly good news for the economy. We're continuing to create jobs at a solid pace, continuing to bring our unemployment rate down.
Well, for some analysis, let's bring in Peter Capelli. He's a professor of management at the Wharton School and the director of Wharton's Center for Human Resources. He's with us from San Francisco. Professor Capelli, first, let me just get your reaction to the numbers in today's report.
Yeah, I think they're good numbers. They are better, a little better than we expected, and they've also revised the numbers for September and October up a little bit, and so all that's good news.
How would you describe the recovery at this point, given what we found out today?
Well, it looks like it's well underway now. You know, of course, we've been saying that for a few years, and every once in a while, the numbers in the next month or so don't look so good.
Right.
But I'd say now we've had several months of pretty good numbers, and these are quite strong, so this is all good news.
Although, as has been the case in a number of recent reports, a lot of the jobs that are being added are construction, manufacturing, retail. They're not necessarily the higher wage jobs, right?
Well, you know, it's important to remember that in the economy as a whole, that's the case, that most jobs in the U.S. economy require a high school degree or less. So the fact that we're adding low-wage jobs, you know, to some extent is just a reflection of the fact that the economy's got a ton of low-wage jobs.
And many of those people on the lower end were out in force yesterday. Another one of these nationwide protests by fast food workers. The minimum wage, a big issue. It's $7.25 an hour nationally. You have done a lot of research on this. What kind of a difference would it make if that were to come up?
You know, I don't think anybody who studies this thinks that the minimum wage is the ideal way to improve economic circumstances for low-income people. I think there are lots of other things, if we had our magic wand, that we might prefer to do. But I think the minimum wage is something which people believe, I think rightly, is something that you could change. We've already got one. It's not like you have to introduce a new program and try to get it over the opposition of the other various interest groups. So I think, you know, it's an imperfect measure, but it's something that's there and it would help. It helps, I think, in a couple of ways. One is obviously the people who are earning it. It increases their income. And we used to think, well, this is mainly a wage that applies to teenagers, but much less so now as so many people are surviving on it. But it also raises the floor for those wages and people working at jobs just a little above it. So it has a kind of knock-on effect for people who are in jobs that pay a little more than the minimum wage. It tends to push them up a little bit as well.
So ideally, what would you like to see the minimum wage be?
Well, I think it all depends if you're an employer or an employee. But I think in terms of dealing with the problems of poverty, having it much higher would be great. Now, the problem is largely political. There are people who obviously have to pay it, and they don't want to have to pay that much more. You know, I think the employment consequences of this are something that's been debated a lot. Would you lose a lot of jobs if you raise the minimum wage a lot?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the answer is we just don't know. I think the evidence seems to indicate that it's not nearly as sensitive to increases in the minimum wage as we might have thought, that is, raising it doesn't have nearly the effect that we thought. And there are some benefits to employers to paying slightly more than they're paying now in terms of reducing turnover, getting better quality workers. You know, it's not like employers are completely rational calculating machines, that they've worked out exactly what the optimum level of pay is for them. Sometimes, I think particularly in bigger companies, they just go with their gut, which is pay as little as possible, and not recognizing that if you pay very little, you know, you don't get very much in terms of quality.
But when you say much higher would be great, what are you talking about? $15 an hour?
$10 or so. Yeah, $10 or so would help a lot. And I think it would also have some effects for public policy. You know, the more people that you pull out of low-wage jobs, really low-wage jobs, the less you have to pay in food stamps and other government support programs as well. So, you know, it has benefits that we don't always calculate in.
Peter Capelli, I have to say, even if you were to raise it to $10 an hour, it's not a living wage. That's still going to be, you're going to have a lot of people working full-time jobs in this country who cannot live on their salary. Isn't there a problem
right.
with that?
No, I think for sure. I think this is where we're thinking about public policy broadly, and there are all kinds of ways we could be helping people who are low wage other than trying to make their employers pay them more. So we have, you know, everybody's favorite way of handling this problem, which is the earned income tax credit. And, you know, that's a very nice mechanism. The problem is it's hard to make it big enough to deal with living wages, but we have all kinds of other public assistance. I think the problem with programs like food stamps and the various welfare programs and things is that they're really uncoordinated. And if you are someone in need of these programs, it's pretty difficult to figure out how to get access to all of them. Different offices run each of these programs. You know, I looked at this the other day for some things, and, you know, a typical person eligible for welfare probably could get about $18,000 worth of federal assistance if they hit all the right agencies. You know, they got housing assistance, they got food stamp assistance, they got traditional welfare programs. But you got to go to each of those offices and you got to get eligible, you know, maintain your eligibility for those things, and you got to know the regulations. And it's really a pretty difficult thing to navigate. It's almost a full-time job to do it. So I think one of the problems we've got, which is not that difficult to fix, is this patchwork of support systems, which is very difficult for people who are really in need to find their way around.
Well, do you think that there's another increase on the way for the minimum wage? The last one came in 2009 when the wage jumped up to $7.25 an hour.
You know, my guess is that at the state level, we will see increases now. It seems to me there's increasing sympathy for people in low-wage jobs around the country, but not everywhere, right? So my guess is state by state and the usual suspects, the states that are the wealthiest are probably the ones that will raise it the most. The states that are the most conservative are the ones that won't raise it. Whether we get an increase in the federal minimum wage, I'd say, is more doubtful, given that Congress can't seem to agree on anything, and something as divisive, traditionally left and right divisive as minimum wage is something I'm probably not betting that we're going to see a lot of effort coming out of the House of Representatives to raise a minimum wage.
Peter Capelli, professor of management at the Wharton School. He's director of Wharton's Center for Human Resources. Peter Capelli, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And the big question now is, what does today's jobs report mean for the Federal Reserve and when it is going to start pulling back on some of its stimulus measures? They're calling it the taper. Well, today, Bill Gross, who heads the world's largest bond fund, PIMCO, gave an interview with Bloomberg and says it's at least a 50-50 chance now that that taper of the Fed stimulus will begin this month. This is Here and Now.